This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Ignition.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. I'm Joe Costello, and another week has begun. The only difference is this week we've actually got racing results to speak of. That is right, the NASCAR Cup Series leading the nation back in terms of sports, and everybody that I know was crowded around their televisions, ready to go, watching the race, hanging out, enjoying themselves, and it was a great experience. We're going to talk about the race. The WFO Radio Fantasy League is back. It is all back. Everything is back. We're back, baby. And Giovanni in Miami is back, and I am not back. I left. I am in Johnson City, Tennessee, and that is that. Now, I want to unmute Giovanni, but Giovanni has chosen to mute himself. And so, and when he is prepared to speak, then he will join us on the show. He is ready. He is now ready. He is now ready. What's up, Giovanni?
I was ready. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't realize that you were ready for me.
Listen.
I'm here in the green room. I'm ready to go.
The idea that you weren't ready is not anything new to the WFO Radio universe. They know the way this show
works. No one believes that.
No, they do. They do. So here we are. And how things have changed from COVID life a few weeks ago to I am on the road. I'm back up in Johnson City, Tennessee. I went to an airport. I flew on two different planes. I am in a hotel. I went through a whole exercise, which I will be happy to share with everybody because it is a very interesting and unique experience. But at the same time, NASCAR is back. We've got a race in, the Fantasy League results, all that stuff. We got a lot to talk about, and we are going to delve into all of it on this show. If you're a new listener to WFO Radio Ignition, I want to say welcome to you. Thank you for checking us out. It has been a very interesting circumstance over the past few weeks and months in that we had built up a lot of momentum, and the whole Corona life changed the momentum, changed the schedule, changed the listenership, where people were listening. For instance, we have been doing a lot of shows on Facebook Live and YouTube and Twitter. If you follow any of those channels for WFO Radio, you've been seeing the shows, and they've been great. A lot of feedback, a lot of fun. It's been fantastic. And this past Friday, Thursday and Friday, we had great shows. But Friday in particular, we did something very special. Miami Hollywood Speedway, the track that existed in Miami, Florida, that was where I got my start, and Daryl Gwynn got his start, and so many others. Ed Federkyle has been on the show, got his start. So Hector Arana got his start. We all got together, and we did Friday Cocktails. It was a WFO happy hour, and Daryl and Jerry Gwynn, Hector Arana, Chris Cunningham, so we got world champion crew chief for Robert Hyde on there, and we all got together and had a really good time with Paul Wunderlich, who is the lane master at Miami Hollywood Speedway and worked there from 1970 to 1992. Think about that. And just had a good old time. Now, the net was fighting us on the Gwynn side of the deal, but those two fought through it so great. You could tell they were drag racers. So I want to encourage you to be sure to watch that. It's on Facebook, but now, thanks to the hard labor of Giovanni in Miami, it is also on the WFOradio.com website. He embedded the video into the story, so you can get the audio there, you can get the video there. And what has been amazing to me, if you follow WFO Radio for a long time, you know that the computer overlords and robots are Skynet is something we fear, and we talk about how it gets closer and closer. From one day to the next, Facebook somehow enabled automatic closed captioning on your live videos. So I did a live video, and I know I didn't type in any words. And then all of a sudden, when the speaker is off, you can see every word that is being spoken. And it's shocking because it's just voice recognition on their end. and it types the closed caption on the videos, which is amazing. But that's up on the Facebook page. Is that correct, Giovanni?
Yes.
Yes. See? Well, you texted me, and I looked, and I looked from the mobile device. It was there.
Well, it's up on our website. I don't know.
What did I
say? Put it on Facebook.
No, it started on Facebook.
You said it's up on the Facebook page.
it's so confusing with all of these different things, man. No, the only place that it hadn't been was on our actual website, and now it is there,
too. Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, no, it's
okay,
on.
Yes, it's definitely up on the website.
It's definitely on the website, which
I'm
is
I'm very
funny.
Confident, fully 100% confident Good. That it's up on the website.
But it was a good show. It was fun, but it could have been so much better. I was actually very disappointed because, like, Daryl, you could see he was amped up to tell some stories. So we're going to get him back. That's it. That's the leeway we have. We have the option. We're going to get him back, and we're going to do it again. And Daryl talking about some of the first-time experiences he had in life at Miami Hollywood Speedway was great. But on this show, this is audio only. This is Ignition. This is why you subscribe to the podcast feed, and hopefully you will enjoy what we have to do. And I did get a couple of thank you letters, like emails, about thank you for doing that, not assuming that everybody is just, watching live videos all day long. There are still earbud people who are working their tails off, and we are out to entertain them. But right now, I want to mention the people who make it all possible, talking about samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. That's what they say. But what do they mean? They mean if you're a young person and you're thinking about what am I going to do with my life, I really want to do something that I like and I'm passionate about, and I love cars. That's what Samtech is all about. High-performance engine builder, CNC machinist, motorsport EFI tuner, and then they can place you, once you graduate, with some great places. Like, I mentioned Keith Wilson and Wilson Manifolds because he told me directly. He's like, his guys are Samtech guys. That's it. Not to mention the guys that are crew chiefs in Factory Stock Showdown. We do a podcast for them called Factory Stock Podcast. You should find that on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well. Also, Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, the hot sauces and the spice rubs, starting off everything good. Like right now, I'm in a kind of a jackpot in that I am up here in Johnson City, Tennessee, and early morning on Tuesday, I will be reporting to the studio, and I'll have my mask on and be social distancing, and I have already learned that the coffee there is Folgers Crystals in that giant plastic tub. And so for the first couple of years of my employ, I did not feel comfortable alerting everybody that the coffee was garbage. But then finally, I decided I gotta get some real coffee in here because it's affecting my performance. And I started to bring better coffee, but no Rodak's yet. That is my plan for the 2021 year, is to load up Performance TV with Rodak's coffee so I never have to be without a little Rodak's. You don't have to be without Rodak's ever. 817-924-6821. Hot sauces, spice rubs, everything good. That is Marvin Rodak. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. We are getting ready to drop another new episode of Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal, but really, it is all an exercise so that the engine builders, whether it be professionals or hobbyists, realize that piston rings are the vital. Of all the stuff you're going to use in your engine, the cost to importance ratio is probably the most significant. And I have learned so much with these best of the best engine builders. Right now, they're doing 20% off tools. Like if you need ring cutters, everything, 20% off. In this crisis, Matt Hartford and the team over there, what are they going to do? Are they going to charge you more or are they going to charge you less? They're going to charge you less. Unbelievable. Total Seal Piston Rings. Check them out. Doing a great job. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, frankhawley.com. Drive a dragster. Simple as that. Very helpful. Also, nitrofishracing.com, where you would get a WFO radio t-shirt and use the promo code WFO20 for any t-shirt. And Randy Lynn has been very, between us all, because I don't think any of the drag racing personalities listen to Ignition, Geo. I think they all listen to NHRA Nitro and anything with the NHRA name in it. Ignition, confusing, so they don't realize it's a sports show. It's a show about nothing. It's all of these things.
All right, slow down. I find it extremely difficult to believe that your NHRA
They don't listen to this. They don't listen.
Have no idea that Ignition
exists.
Is a motorsport
they
show.
Don't even know it exists. I don't think they even know it exists.
Well, that may be so, but if they saw the name Ignition, I definitely think that they would have the idea that it is some kind of other motorsport
show.
Could be
about rockets. Could be.
I don't think they're going to think it's you know, it's like a rocket science
face show.
Podcast, you know?
So bottom line is every week since the promo code, somebody has bought like Jason Lyne t-shirts, Erica Enders t-shirts, WFO Radio t-shirts, getting 20% off at nitrofishracing.com. Where are you going to get a better deal than that? So we really appreciate them and all of our sponsors like Steve Brenwald, Brenwald Media, who does our artwork, etc. All right, let's get into it. In that, Kevin Harvick wins the race, first race back, 50th race win of his career. And I think that very fitting, but the story that Harvick wins comes when, I don't know, you know, Jimmy Johnson, should he have won? It was very early in the race when he wrecked from the lead. And wrecking from the lead, Jimmy Johnson, how terrible, had such a good car. The good news is they get to go again in a couple of days. But let's not talk so much about the result as we should just spend some time talking about how great it was to see NASCAR step into the world spotlight and deliver. I've been watching news reports all day long as I trudge through the airports. They're getting a lot of pub in the cable news channels, not just Fox, but others. Like, sports came back this weekend, leading the way. NASCAR in front of empty stands, showing social distancing. They were all wearing masks and in front of no crowds. And also golf. The golf, though, I don't really consider the golf because it was like three twosomes or something for charity. And most importantly, they were wearing shorts. If you're wearing shorts while playing golf, it's not really pro sports. That's just my vibe on the deal. Andy Crane would probably know better than me, but just, I don't want to see pro golfers wearing shorts, man.
No, and it's not an actual tournament that they play, like, say, you know, the Masters or whatever, because there's going to be, in the, I believe it's the first week of June, that they're actually going to play a tournament. So,
right.
I mean, and I will find out what name it is, but.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the thing. Was NASCAR came back for real. It was the first, like, real deal sport. You know, UFC was back, but not that I don't consider UFC a real deal sport, but I just consider it different. There's two fighters.
No, UFC is a real sport, but the thing with UFC is that they don't have a weekly event. Like, they're not on every week like NASCAR. See, of the major sports that return, you know, because UFC is big time there. You know, if I had to, they're probably, you know, bigger than NASCAR, really, in terms of popularity and numbers and all. You know, their stuff is pay-per-view and all that.
Yeah.
But they don't have, once their season starts, they're not, you know, they're on a lot, but they don't have a weekly show.
Right. And
you know,
one
NASCAR's
of their fighters
on every week, you know, baseball plays every day or every other day. You know, once, you know, NFL comes on, they're, you know, they play every week for 6 months or whatever it is.
Exactly.
And that's the thing with UFC. They're not really weekly. And so.
And it's a fight.
I consider that NASCAR is the first major sport that returns, the ones that play or participate on a weekly, daily basis, like hockey, baseball, and stick and ball sports.
I think they did a great job with the broadcast. I didn't miss the fans at all, honestly. I hate to say that, but I really didn't. The fan
come
exercise.
Come on, you didn't miss the roar of the crowd.
No, not at all. The exercise.
Even
Harvick,
during the burnout, it was kind of weird.
No, Harvick at the end is talking about
really
it's dead
weird
silence.
The burnout in silence.
Who cares?
At least for me, it seemed weird.
The fan exercise is always about, you know, how many are there? Are they there? How many gaps are in between the fans these days? What are they doing? To not have them as an exercise, it didn't bother me at all. That's all. I mean, if they're back, it's not that I don't want fans ever to be at a NASCAR race again. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the race was a good race regardless. It was fun. It was entertaining. And I think NASCAR represented well with the way they handled it. I think they handled the whole exercise well. The race, pretty good. Jimmy Johnson, you know, the crashing out from the lead. He got up front, though. So that's the first good part of it.
Yeah,
is that Jimmy Johnson got up front. But
it's an exaggeration to just assume he was going to win. Harvick had a real strong car by, you know, the fact he led, you know, the most laps far and away.
Absolutely.
More than half the laps.
159.
And, yeah. And I think, yeah, look, you saw it. Bowman, who was equally as fast as Johnson in those early runs, wasn't able to pass him in the end. And remember that they called it there on the TV with, what, 30 laps to go when that restart came, that they said this could be the battle for the lead right here.
And it was. And it Harvick was getting worked. Out. Harvick was getting out first, and that was the pit stall was a big part of it too. Kevin Harvick wins the race. Alex Bowman second, continuing what has been a really strong year, like breakout for Alex Bowman so far. Is able to get going right where he left off in terms of performance. Kurt Busch was third. Chase Elliott fourth. Denny Hamlin fifth. Martin Truex Jr. sixth. Tyler Reddick. Really good run for Tyler as well, seventh. Eric Jones, eighth. And they ran afoul of the rules somewhere. I saw a penalty for those guys. John Hunter Nemechek, ninth. Matt Kenseth rounding out the top ten. How about Matt Kenseth taking the 42, first time he has run in a while, and just going right back into the top ten? What does that mean? What does it say? What is the story with that? He was doing it all
last year. Last race.
What's that? Say again.
That the last race he ran was the end of 2018 season, Homestead. So he didn't race at all last season in the big series.
Right. And first race out, top 10. Do you know?
Well, it says a lot. Number one, that he's a, you know, a veteran driver, that maybe this, what is it, low horsepower or low downforce or whatever this horsepower and downforce, you know, it suits his driving style well. And, you know, maybe Matt Kenseth he's a champion, man. You're talking about a guy who...
Yeah, but still, for somebody to just come out and just jump into the top 10 at a really tough racetrack, then again, if Matt Kenseth is driving the car for a top 10, that is a very different strategy as well. You know, like, I'm just going to play it cool and get to the end and get a race under my belt. Oh, hey, I finished in the top 10. How great. Austin Dillon, 11th. Eric Almirola, 12th. Brad Keselowski, 13th. Brad K led 80 laps. Had a good car early on. Matty D, Matt DiBenedetto. How great is it here in results, folks? How great is it here in results? And I'm not wearing a mask at the moment either. Ryan Newman, 15th. Ryan Newman, still alive. He is out there. Ryan Blaney, 16, 17. What are you laughing at? It's true, though. I went on a Twitch show with Jason Page and Vlad, Sports Radio Vlad, who comes on this show, and they were asking me about Ryan Newman, and they did a good series of interviews with me on their Twitch show, and it was cool. I tweeted it out, by the way, about you know, those guys and you know, Newman, how he's tough. Like, he's a tough guy. Like, you don't have to be able to bench 350 pounds to be tough. And Ryan Newman is, I don't know what he can bench, but he's a tough guy. Simple as that. Clint Bowyer got the banner stuck on his car at the end of the race, 17th. Joy, 18th. Tyler Dillon, 19th. Ryan Preece, 20th. Bubba Wallace, 21st. Cole Custer, 22nd. Michael McDowell, 23rd. Christopher Bell, 24th. Daniel Suarez, 25th. Kyle Busch, 26th, not the run Kyle was looking for. Darren Poole, 27th. J.J. Yaley, 28th. Reed Sorensen, 29th. Joey Gase, 30th. Followed by Corey LaJoy, Chris Buescher, Timmy Hill, Josh Bilicki, William Lord Byron. Crash from the lead. Another one. Quinn Hoff, Garrett Smithley, our buddy. Jimmy Johnson, B.J. McLeod, and Ricky DNF Stenhouse finishing 40th. And didn't you have him on your fantasy team?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, Giovanni. You had him. You had him on your team. And I'm going to bring up the scores here in a little bit, but it was good to be thinking about fantasy.
It was fun.
And hopefully everybody's excited. And don't forget to change your teams. Don't forget to change your teams.
I had Kyle Busch, too.
Oh, well, then I would imagine you did tank. You did tank. Ugh, boy. But hey, we're going again Wednesday. Same track. And I hear Harvick is running the same car. And why wouldn't you? like, just bring it back out, you know, and they're going to do it again. Xfinity Tuesday night and Cup again Wednesday. And we're doing this wild marathon. And all there is NASCAR for a little while, which is good.
Well, tomorrow's Xfinity race has been moved up to 6 p.m. I'm not sure what time it was originally scheduled for.
Now, what I will say, the only thing that we were missing, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we need it Wednesday. We got to have it Wednesday. Some sort of traditional stock car racing, Rubin is racing, fender bumping feud. That's, we got this captive audience. What was the, it was like over 6 million people. So if we were doing the Daytona 500 over under, the under came in, but barely. It was a really good number for the race. You got to give those people, like in this period now, first race, maybe you don't want to give the impression that it's, you know, banging and bumping all the time. It was a clean race. It was a clean execution. They got it under their belts. Love the drone shots. Love the drones. Just, I felt really good about what they were doing, and I love just kind of melting into the couch, vegetating, watching something that I enjoy. That was nice. But now on Wednesday night, midweek, it's not Sunday afternoon. It's midweek. People are going to be at home watching what's on TV. Now that NASCAR thing is on TV. We need some sort of a little mini feud. We need two racers to, like, we need Kurt Busch and Ricky Craven coming down to the stripe of the Southern 500 a few years ago. That is what we need. We need guys pointing fingers at each other. We need guys like, you know, you don't fight anymore because...
Well, that was a great finish, but those guys didn't fight after the race.
No, they didn't fight, but they were banging. There was contact all over the place.
No, that was one heck of a last lap.
Maybe the greatest finish.
Whatever it was.
One of the greatest finishes.
It might well have been.
Definitely top five greatest finish ever.
Craven slams into him and they're both going sideways.
Yes. The you know, the 1976 Daytona 500 is probably where they both crash, and but whatever. You get what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be Dale Earnhardt and Terry Labonte at Bristol, but it's got to be something. That's all. You got to have the little extra something that hooks people in. Now, should NASCAR be going to these teams and saying, listen, guys, we don't know who's going to do it, but you should freaking get a little amped up out there. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they should do that. I think that drivers should know themselves. They should know. Dale Earnhardt would know. Those guys back in the day would know that this is a unique opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity, with the eyes of the world watching to entertain. And I would hope they would do it.
I don't think there has to even be fisticuffs. I think they can just beat and bang on the cars.
But that's what I've said three times now. You don't listen. I said that three times. It doesn't have to be fisticuffs. They could just be beating and banging. That's why I referenced Ricky Craven and Kerr. That's why I said Dale Earnhardt. It doesn't have
to
be a fight.
I'm not sure if that, I can hear you right.
You're not listening. You don't listen to the show. You don't. That's what's going on here. Something extra. Contact, rivalry, it doesn't have to be a fight. There's a fight. Now, if there was a fight, you know, people might people might feel negative about it, honestly. Like, here we are in a crisis situation in our nation, right? Like, it might not go over well right now. It might go over poorly. Look at these rednecks getting in a fight. Someone's going to get the virus, blah, right? But contact and beating and banging and contact, that is, you know, Rubin's racing would be nice to see. That's all I'm saying, is I think people would be interested. And so there you go. Those are the results. Kevin Harvick is in the archive. You can hear his full post-race interview, which was done very differently. And I felt like it worked. I was excited. I was left not wanting anything. And it was interesting to see that there was some fans that seemed to sneak in there, though, when the donuts were
going. I don't
think
they were fans. I think those were people that were working there.
The security guy?
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, not necessarily security, but people like that for whatever reason were working there. I heard there was, I mean, maybe as between 900 to 1,000 actual people involved in the race, just on the putting on the show between the teams and the drivers and all the cameramen and all the, you know, the traveling circus was still 900 people. I heard it was in the almost that many. So
I believe that. You still have to have security.
Yeah, I don't think it was any fans that snuck in. I think it was, you know, if you 900 people at some point, you know, when they're at the end of the race, when I'm sure more, that was somebody that was working.
And so
I thought I saw like credentials or some kind of crap around there.
And so NASCAR has released their expanded schedule, and Homestead Miami Speedway has been announced June, 13th and 14th. So a month out from where we are right now, we will see Homestead Miami Speedway, and that's just a great thing. Good job, Homestead. Getting back on the schedule. I'm fired up about that. Those promotional tickets that we have, they're not going to work. So no fans in attendance.
They're not working.
No, no fans. Sorry.
No, they announced right. So after Charlotte is going to be Bristol on Sunday, May 31st, and then the following Sunday, they're going back to Atlanta, which was one that got missed. Remember the first one?
Yes.
Then that Wednesday will be Martinsville. And then that Sunday will be the June 14th here in Homestead. And then the following Sunday would be Talladega. And I think that's as far as they've released.
I like it.
Right now.
All right. So, and there you are. There's your results for the Real Heroes 400. Darlington next race. Cup race will be the Toyota 500K, which is also experimental. And I think that we have been for easily the 10 years of WFO radio and even beyond back to the satellite show have been clamoring for shorter races in the Cup series. And I think you got an example of a test coming up Tuesday. 300 miles at Darlington is a shorter race, 500K. And I am very intrigued to see. I think you can get from the back to the front. I think you can do some strategy. I think you can make some moves. And I think that the total race time of approximately 2.5 hours or something is going to be right in the wheelhouse for people on a Wednesday.
Definitely. Because even this 400-mile race was took a considerable amount of time. No, but even 300 miles at Darlington is going to be a nice – it's going to seem like a nice long race. But well, I definitely think that this Wednesday night running 300-milers is – it could be a good experiment. Let's just see. I mean, the numbers obviously might be a little skewed by the fact that NASCAR is, you know, going to be the only thing on, but – I think that this could be a way, you know, of the future. A couple midweek shorter races that maybe take a two-hour block.
I agree. Well, not a two-hour block because, you know, that means the race is an hour and a half long. You're never going to get it that short.
But, right. No, but 2 hours of actual racing time, almost like a right. Formula One race.
3 hour show, you know, like 2 hour, right. 15-minute
race.
And
2 hours of race.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's what everybody tells me about this show. They're like, Joe, your show is so amazing. You guys are some of the most talented people in the world. It's just...
I mean, nobody says you go too far, man.
I'm sorry. I went over the line. But the point is they want like little five-minute shows. This little five-minute shows. They want us to come down and just do 5 minutes. And that's it, because that's all that they can consume. I tell them, for every person like you who can only consume 5 minutes, there is somebody who is stuck in a job that they are bringing money home for their fam, and they
not
like it.
Not necessarily stuck. A lot of people are enjoying themselves at work, and they put this on as helping them pass the time.
Right, because they're enjoying themselves so much.
Working on their craft or whatever.
Their craft, exactly. Well, here's one. For instance, Tyler Evans. What's up, Joe? El Jefe here. First off, I just wanted to say thank you for all the content you are pushing. Well, he's on the Fantasy League. For pushing all the content you are pushing through this little break. It's very appreciated, coming from a guy with his earbuds in all day and needs stuff to listen to. So thank you. See, there it is. Second off, as an NHRA fan, I am thrilled that there is a plan to go back racing, but I just think 16 weeks in a row is almost impossible. Personally, I would just do 8 or so big races just to put on a show. And he goes on and actually has a couple of points that I am going to bring up with Alan Reinhart tomorrow, assuming we can do a show. And since we're talking, I don't know if there's going to be a show, but I'm going to try to do a show. I'm here in Johnson City, Tennessee, for the first time since March. The last time I was here, the Gator Nationals had just been postponed. Came back from Gainesville on a Thursday. Stayed home that weekend. Monday came to Johnson City. Knocked out some episodes. The April shoot was canceled, and I was happy about that, with April being the scary month and all. But now here we are in May, and the opportunity arose for me to come up here, and I had to make the decision. Was I going to, you know, stay home and ride it out for another month and see how it went, or was I going to get on a plane and get out into the airports and come up here and do what I got to do? And it was something to consider. But obviously, I decided to go. And the reason I decided to go is, you know, many, many reasons. But probably the most significant is that I'm a patriot. And I wanted to be the tip of the spear leading America back after the COVID. And I wanted to show the rest of the country that if you wear a mask and you do things right, you carry a gallon of Purell with you everywhere you go, that many great things can be accomplished. And so I, as an individual, not unlike the United States Marine Corps, went out there first to the fight and am out here earning a living. And also, it's the last shoot of the year for us on Performance TV. And so I thought, man, I want to get one more in before the season is over. And I felt like the airports are empty and all of these things. I need the money. So here I am. And it was a very different experience. I must say, I have some great observations from it in that I'm wearing my Marvin Rodak bandana. Everybody else has got like the, what is it, N45, N95 masks. A lot of serious masks, a lot of BS masks, a lot of no masks. No masks is surprisingly prevalent. I see a lot of airport employees, no masks. And you go through these segments of the travel experience and you're, you know, trying to, at least me, evaluate, is this safe or could this be safer? Simple as that. So when I get up to the beginning of the TSA line, the guy in the TSA line, gloves, no mask. Huh. Now I've got my mask on, which is not a mask. It's more of a face covering. And I choose to wear the bandana style instead of the surgical mask, even though I have the surgical mask, because it is easier, it's cooler, and I don't touch it as much for whatever reason. The bandana just fits my big nose better than that surgical mask, which it's fuzzy on the inside and starts to tickle you, and I end up touching it too much, and that's bad. But anyway, so the guy asked for my license, and I hand him my license. So when I hand him my license into his gloved hand, I can't help but think of the 10,000 other licenses he has handled. And that's a problem. So right there, the first red flag of the deal was the TSA agent. He's got gloves on. He's protected from the slime that he's touching, but the gloves aren't. And so he put all the disgust from the 50 people in front of me onto my license. And I was like, ooh. All right, so I put that away. So I go to the machine, TSA pre. So I go through all that. It wasn't terrible touching those bowls that you have to put your stuff in. Always a gross experience, so it's not like that much more disgusting. But then I'm in the airport, and I'm looking in Fort Lauderdale Airport. I don't want to say we're an antiquated airport. We're a mid-range airport. It's good in some ways, and it's bad in some ways, but some elements are very old. And so normally, I bring a water bottle that is empty, and then I fill the water bottle up with municipal water. Because I'm not going to go buy a brand new bottle of water every single time I go on a plane. That would be like hundreds of dollars at the end of the year. I just fill it up with a little water, except their water fountains in Fort Lauderdale Airport are left over from like 1990-something, and you have to push a button to get the water to come out. What is this nonsense? Why should I be touching anything in the year 2020? There have been touch-free, wave-in-front-of, handless things in other places for literally 20 years. And for whatever reason, in this airport and many other airports, you can't. You have to touch. Well, guess what? I got water. I put my butt up against it and got the water out. But that's got to go. You got to tear that thing out immediately. You can't. That's where the virus is. Touching on the water fountain. No touching the water fountain. You wave in front of it and you fill your water. Other airports have got it. Why don't
I've got a better idea for you, man.
Yeah. What? How about buy the water bottle
right now under the current state. You go and buy the bottle of water.
Okay.
And not be cheap.
Yeah, okay.
For a couple bucks.
Well, wait a second.
Right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I understand that generally speaking,
yep.
If this is a hundreds of dollars a year proposition or a month or a week or whatever it is. But under the current circumstances, you either go buy that bottle of water or else you stay thirsty.
Nope. I got to go. I got to touch the handle of the refrigerator. I got to reach in and grab the bottle. Who touched the bottle? I got to close the refrigerator. I got to dig in and get my money, my credit card. I got to give the credit card to somebody or swipe the credit card. You know, there's an interaction with a guy behind a counter. If you were an insurance company actuary, is that what that guy's called? Buying the water is way more dangerous than just putting your butt up against the water fountain, but neither is optimal. So then I went and I just sat. And I just sat and waited for the plane, got on the plane, first class, first row, nobody next to me. So that was amazing. It was great.
Except that girl with the dirty feet.
I was in seat like.
No, I know. But she was the closest person to
okay,
you.
Okay, you brought this up now. This is a great topic that you brought up. And I appreciate you doing this. What are people wearing in the airport? Okay. Yes, there's a virus out there and you're all wearing masks and everything. That doesn't mean you should be naked everywhere else. The girls dressed very seductively, like very skin, bellies out, bikini tops, like little tiny short shorts, flip-flops, everybody flip-flopping around, Gio. You're referencing one girl, but they all have the flip-flops in the airport. I am feeling like a little vulnerable. I think I should wear a little more protective gear, but that's the way I always feel on the plane. I would never, ever in a million years wear flip-flops in an airport. And some people do, and that's their style and whatever. I think it's crazy, but some people do. But during the, you know, corona crisis, I'm going to be, some girl is going to be flip-flopping around with a bikini top. Belly all exposed in the airport. I just think that's I know the virus can't enter through your belly button or anything. I mean, as far as we know, but still, it just seems ill-advised.
Look, here's the term. Ill-advised. It's unnecessary.
Why?
It's
just wear.
Unnecessary.
You don't need to look
it's
sexy
an
in the airport.
Unnecessary risk.
It was, and I was noticing, you know, now I was noticing everything. I notice everything all the time. I'm always people watching, but this time I was noticing everything. And so land in Charlotte, get off the plane, go walk around, go went and complained about my status. You'll be happy to know that my status has been extended into next year, regardless, even if I don't make
it. I told you.
Woo! Status,
I told
baby.
You. That seemed simple to me. That was going to be, that was a no-brainer.
It's like, what happens to my status? There's no way I'm going to make my status again next year. You've lost half of the year because of this. And also my Admirals Club membership is extended by 6 months. So that's good.
There you go.
Which is nice.
Look at that.
It's nice to know.
And you're still too cheap to buy a bottle of water.
No, well, I would get water in the Admirals Club. Like I would have, you know, I have a routine. I don't like to break my routine. By the way, a lot of these stores aren't even open. So I get to this hotel.
I'm sure there was a place where you could have gotten a bottle of water.
I don't know, man. Honestly. So here I get to the hotel. The restaurant and the hotel is closed. I did not know that, but I sensed it. So I stopped at Kroger. So I went into Kroger and I put the mask on and now I'm in there. I'm in Kroger, right? Nobody's got masks on. Kroger does not have someone wiping every cart like Publix does. They don't care, man. Like, just go get your car. And I'm like standing out in front, like looking at the cards, like, where's the person wiping off every one with disinfectant wipes? Nope. No disinfectant. All right, fine. I grab the little basket and I go around and I'm getting my stuff just in case the restaurants and everything at the hotel weren't. And sure enough, I did the right thing. And you know what I had? You know what I found? Do you know what I found for the first time since this entire COVID thing? I had to come to Tennessee to score it. First time since February. Bang. Look at that, brother.
Oh, Lysol disinfectant.
$13.
That's a small bottle, bro.
How much is Lysol typically?
I don't know. I buy it at Costco.
This was $13.69.
Ooh, man, you got price gouged.
Doesn't that feel a little extreme?
$13.69?
No, it's the small bottle of Lysol. I don't remember, man, how much Lysol.
I gotta tell you, I feel like the three pack or four pack that it comes at Costco is like $15.
This
so it's like $5 a bottle for that giant one.
$13.69. I bought a bottle of vino for like $5 more than Lysol. So I get to the room. Now, this is not coming back with me on the plane. I don't think I can bring an aerosol can on a plane.
Yeah, probably not. So I'm sure you're using it, spraying it everywhere before you sit your...
This is my...
But make sure you spray the remote control for the
TV. I sprayed everything. There's nothing in this room that didn't get sprayed. In fact, I came into this room and I sprayed everything. And then I realized that this is probably not a good idea for me to continue to be in here.
And breathe that in now.
And as much as now, apparently breathing in disinfectant is people are considering it. I felt like it was not doing me very good. Like I could tell you that this Lysol, maybe I sprayed too much. So I went out and tried to get a bite to eat. It's a whole new universe, man. It's a whole new universe traveling during this. So here's the moral so far, halfway into this. With 15% capacity, it can be done. It's sketchy, but it can be done. You just be careful at 15% capacity.
1.5?
Yeah, because that's what it is. What I dealt with today was, in my opinion, maybe it was 20%. It definitely was not 25% of a normal travel day. It was extremely light. So I'm saying 15%.
Okay, I'll buy that. You know, you're the one who was there. I mean, I don't know if I trust your judgment in numbers, but
I'm really good with percentages and crowd assessment numbers, man. I'm good with that kind of stuff. If we get to 60% of capacity, this is not going to work. It's not. Because there's
What about 50%?
There's no place, I don't know, somewhere in that zone, you know, it's going to go from doable to not doable. Another thing, the airlines. See, for years, we've all been victims of nobody wanting to spend money on things that are of actual importance. I'm going to give you an example. Airlines, planes coming and going, every gate has got the little gate agent. And everyone is there. And for years, the gate agent would come on and be like,
stupid event, military group,
and you'd be okay, no big deal. There's a board to watch. You could go up and figure it out, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you can't understand the woman because the speaker is terrible. The microphone is terrible, and the person doesn't know how to speak. Three things all kind of merging together. And so you say to yourself, well, the person's not a professional speaker. She's a flight attendant gate agent. That's her job. So she's either reading too fast or she's reading mumbling. And two, that little speaker thing is left over from the 1980s. It looks like BJ and the Bear, and she's like, and... So none of it works. And then the speaker is terrible. So all of those things kind of combining together. It's like, we need you to get on that.
We need you to come up to the gate, please, come to the gate, please.
And you figure it out. But now they got a mask on their face. Now they got a mask. The speaker is broken. They don't know how to speak. And they're a little, there's anxiety. Oh, yelling. There was yelling. There was yelling at people. Excuse me, sir. Like, everyone's on edge. They're on the chip. Airline companies, invest. Better microphones, better speakers. Maybe speakerless. Maybe like a video you play. So that there's no doubt, because nobody can understand it. And everybody is just like wondering. And they've changed some of the boarding protocol.
We're going to need you to come to those hotels. First of all, it's the gold key.
What? And so, but other than that, it was great.
You said, Mr. Costello, you left your keys.
Yeah, Mr. Costello, you left your keys.
Yeah. So there it is. But anyway, I'm here, and I report bright and early.
The adventures of Joe in the airport.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm tweeting. There's a sense of anxiety. Like, I'm sure, like, I would love to just, to lie. Like, all the tip of the spear stuff was clearly a joke. And just lie and be like, yeah, it's totally no big deal, man. It's no big deal. I got this, whatever. That would be a lie. You could see the anxiety on a lot of people, like, ugh, you know, really don't want to be doing this. But my feeling is now is the best time. This is the best time to get out and get a lay of the land and see what it is. Just like with the haircut. Get the haircut before everybody else gets the haircut. Once the guy has been exposed to 500 people, the chances of his, the thing going up is worse. And so there you go.
Absolutely.
So.
The good news is you're not going to need another haircut ever again.
No, not for a while. This is the last one of the year. You know, you get this all about timing. You get in right here. Hey, listen, I'm a part of the team, right? Look, yeah, I got a haircut. I risked my life for you guys. And then we'll see what happens. The next performance TV shoot is going to be at the SEMA show, in theory, assuming there is a SEMA show, which there may or may not be. All right, what else do we want to talk about here there, Giovanni?
The fantasy results.
Let's give the fantasy
Did
results.
You do that?
Good job. Nope. I've been too busy
telling my story
about this deal. Okay.
All right. Let's just go through the fantasy results.
I'm about to
remind people to come on. Let's go today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Change your team. Don't forget, or keep the same team, whatever you want to do, but get with it.
Yes, get with it. Or don't. Nobody really cares. There's going to be a champion at the end of this year, regardless. There's going to be a champion regardless. And if it's not you, it's not my problem, right? Like, this is your best chance to win the championship because it's going to be this weird, bizarre season. So the weekly winner is, I can see her, Almirola, Steve the Trucker. You know what? I was just thinking about Steve the Trucker the other day. Like, man, we haven't heard from some of our WFO regulars in a long time. I hope that they're all doing okay. You know what, man? I just I don't know why I'm choosing now to say this, but I got a little bad news a few minutes ago, Gio. You know, tomorrow on NHRA Nitro, we're going to talk about Sean Gann. Sean Gann, pro stock motorcycle racer, died. And there's, you know, stories of how he died. But Sean Gann was a guy that I had some really interesting conversations with. And he had been on WFO. And he passed away, and that's a major bummer. But the big story we've been tracking has been, and I don't really know how to handle this, and maybe you can guide me through it a little bit. You know, people who get COVID, right? Like, there's HIPAA laws. You're not supposed to talk about people's medical conditions. But if someone that we know in the drag racing world gets COVID, then it's very interesting, and it's also newsy to us because it's someone that we know about. Like when Bobby Bennett got COVID, Bobby Bennett announced to the world he got COVID, so I felt very comfortable talking about Bobby Bennett having COVID and even having Bobby Bennett on the show. But there are a couple of other people in the drag racing community that we know that are friends who have COVID, who they've announced it on their Facebook page to their friend network. But does that mean they want us talking about it on WFO radio? I don't know. And so I'm very cautious about that. But
all right, anybody that put it on social media, then that's they're announcing to the world that that they have it. And so that is completely different than you finding out
and just putting it out there. Well,
and
good.
Making the announcement for them when they have not told anyone.
But
anybody that puts it on any social media, whether it's Facebook or any kind of out there, you know, even if it, you know, then I think that at that point they have announced it. They have made the announcement.
Okay, so then, you know, Todd Smith has been on Facebook talking about his fight against COVID. Todd Smith has been right there in the WFO radio studio, co-crew chief for JR Todd. Todd Smith, my neighbor, I always talk about him. And his statements have been like getting better, getting better, getting better. Now, Steve Johnson has been posting about his crew member, Jock. Now, Jock didn't put it out there on his own because Jock is in ICU. You know that story? I've told Gia this story.
I follow Steve Johnson on Twitter, and I saw him.
Okay. The story about Jock has been that Jock, who aka Predator, aka a good guy, man, and I've been trying to work him in because I've like realized what a cool character he is. I feel like there are a lot of people that when they hear him, they will like him, and he's a little shy, but once you break through that, he's got funny, cool things to say, and he could be a big personality. Well, Jock and Jock's mom both got COVID. And today, Steve Johnson put on Facebook that Jock's mom passed away.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Like, you know, how real does it get there? And that Jock is getting a little better. He's, you know, he's slowly improving. But his mom, who's only 51, gone. Ugh. May she rest in peace. I'm hoping.
Damn, we're almost 50.
I know. And she's got Jock. Like, whatever. It's just horrible. So anyway, Alan and I are going to be sorting through a lot of this tomorrow. Be sure to listen, assuming we get on the air, because we'll be in the Performance TV studio. But I could see her Almirola's, and that's the point. The reason I went down that little journey with you and dropped that horrible news on you.
Almirola's made you think about
all our friends that, you know, we haven't contacted with. Yes. Like, we don't know, you know, like there's people out there that we don't speak with on a regular basis that you never know. But I really, I assume that Steve.
We hope everyone's okay. And if you're not okay, we hope you get better.
Right. Simple as that. I can see her Almirola's 358. Steve the Trucker. Fat Tire 22, 351, second. Rusty Racing, third, 336. Hockey Dad, what's up, Hockey Dad? Hopefully you're doing really great out there. 330. Jambalaya J Racing, 322. Miller Man, what's up, Miller Man? Hopefully Miller Man is doing good. 322. Patrick the Webmaster, 315. Rich and Saugus, 315. Racing 5032, 311. Tom Inc., 310. Elephant Racers, that's Dan. He's always going to keep his status. 307. The Blurple Hog Fan, 306. And, you know, there's no numbers, so I feel like we've done the top 10.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like we can.
And now a random smattering of scores from somewhere in the top 10 on down to when Joe feels like stopping. Like Garrett Senkow. Gareth, 299. Barbecue Bob, 299. Vlad the Inhaler, 296. Vlad doing the sports talk show on Twitch. And they got a show on Twitch, and we've been doing, you know, the show has been on Twitch. If you are a WFO radio listener who has a Twitch TV account, please go watch our shows so we can achieve the benchmark so that we can stream to larger numbers of people, apparently. There's some sort of deal that you have to stream eight consecutive or eight different days, and you have to have three viewers watching or else you're just nobody. And that's who we are right now. The Cervix Splitter. 295. Who did Cervix Splitter have? He had Martin Truex Jr. Hey, is it safe to assume that Cervix Splitter is a guy? Ryan Blaney, no. Alex Bowman, and Chris Bell. was the team for cervix splitter. Let's see. The New Hampshire Bucknut, 442, 295. Team Gray. What Team Gray get? 289. All right. That's what we want to know. Yeah, but why? That's the thing, Gio. See, we're so out of practice. Why am I even bothering to read regular scores? Nobody cares about regular scores. I should be reading the overall scores.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah. No, I stopped it. I pulled the plug. The overall leader. Let me do this PDF deal. That's how you do it. The overall leader is Day Racing 21 with 1,529 points, 7 points ahead of Elephant Racers. Go job, Elephant Racers. Team 12 is third, 20 points back. Patrick the Webmaster is having really two great years back to back. He's finding his groove. He must have written some sort of algorithm.
Code. That's exactly what he did.
29 points back. Motorhead 55 is fifth. Gareth Senkow is sixth. Day Racing 5032 is seventh. Young Money Kyle Larson. Nitro Fanatics. Yeah. That's Craig from the Northwest Nitro Fanatics, 8th. Fat Tire, 22, 9th. Youper 1 is 10th. And Mr. Fantasy NASCAR lurking, only 107 points back. He's going to be the champ. You guys are all going to fail to him. 15th, Royal Flush Racing. 20th, Gio in Miami, only 156 points back, Gio.
Hey, look at that.
You're two behind Rich and Saugus. And you're ahead of Bug Barn. And Fleetry, who's 22nd. Cervix Splitter, for those that are interested in what Cervix Splitter is doing, is 24th. 25th is Double O Dead On, just ahead of Los Chingones, 26th. 30th is Southern Racer X. 35th is Misshift Bent Valve, just behind Jambalaya J Racing. And just ahead of Sith Racing. Ooh, Sith Racing, spooky. Spider Monkey Racing, that's Gary. We got to get Gary on. It hasn't been Gary. Stubo is 40th. What's up, Stubo?
What's up, Stubo?
Just ahead of Team Gray, 41st. Sacramento Racing Fan is tied with 41st. And I can see her Almirola's, 235 back in 43rd. New Hampshire Bucknut is 45th. Where is Joe, man? 66th? What? How am I stinking so bad? This is terrible. Highline Real Fine, 46. Smothered and Covered, 47. 50th, Driving Hard. 55th, Eastbound and Down. 59th, it's a tie. Real Muffler Racing, Muffler Bearing, and Easy E009. And 66, Joe is losing to Logan Mania. How am I down 18 positions. Down 18 positions? What the hell happened? What the hell happened? That's the story of my fantasy league life. Who did I had? I had Joey Logano, third. Jimmy Johnson, 35th. William Byron, 32nd. And Christopher Bell. There it is. That's how you fall 18 spots. You have the two guys that you pick to win the race, lead the race, and both crash on their own with no help. Got it. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
It was a tough day. A lot of guys crashed on the
Sure, from leading. All right, and there it is. What else? Let's do Sports Collision and then get on out of here. Jordan Show, epic.
That's it. Sports Collision, the only thing that's going on in the world is The Last Dance. I can't believe that those were the final two episodes. I just thought that we would have, 2 hours every Sunday for in perpetuity.
I could do, first of all, you know what's funny is I'm bringing up some Formula One headlines also. The tracking of the Bulls finals. I couldn't have told you what they were off the top of my head, but this brought them all back. Now, of course, I remembered rooting for Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns, and I forgot about most of the rest. But I can tell you that I watched every finals. I like basketball. I followed it. But I rooted against the Bulls in every single one of them, man. Michael Jordan beat me every single time. I was just rooting for Michael Jordan and the Bulls to lose. I was one of those people that just felt like the guy was winning too much. And so I wanted to see them lose. And he won every single time. Because I remember being very angry that the Jazz beat the Rockets in the finals.
Oh, on that last second shot. We saw that, I think, maybe last week.
Because
right?
that was Barkley was on the Rockets now, remember? And it was going to be the rematch, Barkley with the Rockets against the Bulls. And I thought Barkley was going to, because Barkley went to the Rockets for the one last shot at the title. And it brought that back. And then I thought, like, man, I was.
Yeah, but that was already, Chuck was too old back then already at the end.
Chuck had a pretty decent season with the Rockets that final
year,
man. Yeah, that was his last chance, and they lost on the final shot with like a second to go prayer by Stockton, and he makes it. So don't give some sort of statement of fact. Like, it's in the sports cosmos at that point. But anyway, this made me like Michael Jordan, like young Joe. Like, I rooted against him the whole time. I didn't get to enjoy any of his victories. I wasn't angry. I was just lost, you know? It's like, oh, okay. But, man, this made me enjoy them all. Like, it gave me back all of those wins. Like, I got to enjoy them the second time around because I was rooting for Michael. When the Mormons food poisoned him, the folks from Utah at that pizza place, when they food poisoned him, how about that?
The flu game.
It was food poisoning, though. And they said that he ordered a pizza, and they were looking at
the
pizza.
It's still known as the flu game.
Why is it the flu game? Because that's what they reported.
It was reported that he had the flu. They didn't know that he was food poisoned on TV. Yeah. Remember, they kept saying that they thought he got in the flu.
Yeah. Well, I said the Mormons. It's a joke. Someone in Utah, they feel, maybe nobody did it on purpose, but...
I mean, look, I got to tell you, the story does seem a little particularly strange when they say that five guys came to deliver the pizza.
But how would they know it's Michael? Oh, yes, we'd like to order a pizza from Michael Jordan.
That's the only part I found a little weird, but... And if that's the case, man, and you had suspicions and you let Mike eat the pizza, then it's on you guys, you know? Like, that's... You're his security. You should have tasted it first.
Guess
that's
what?
That's just
absolutely
you know?
Agree. Absolutely agree. You're sitting in a room with Michael Jordan, one of the most significant humans on the earth, and you're in charge of his fitness, his health, and his security. You call around trying to get a pizza. The pizza shows up, and your alarm bells are going off.
And you still let him have it.
And you let him eat the whole pizza all by himself. And then he gets sick. I don't know. Like, that's the kind of thing that in other cultures, you have to kill yourself.
Somebody has to be sacrificed
like,
for that?
Well, the samurai. Like, that's when you do the Harry Carey. Like, you shamed yourself. Right. But... And Michael comes back and has this amazing game. And, Michael Jordan, the legend of Michael Jordan. I don't understand how after watching that, you cannot like the guy. Like, I would love to see the guy play a pickup game right now and suck and be old guy. I don't care.
He wouldn't be the old guy, man. Are you kidding me?
It would be a television event. To see, like, let's get some senior tour basketball pickup game. Jordan and those guys out there holding it up.
Every room that Michael Jordan walks into, he's still the most important person in the room in this day.
Apparently.
What are you talking about?
Well, in sports. It depends. People are on him about his eyes. Something about his eyes look yellow. There's a controversy. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't, but, you know.
Seen a couple stories.
Like he's happy at the end of the day. He's got his cocktail next to him. He's has a cigar, you know?
Yeah.
He's got the smoky eyes. That's all right.
It was good.
I don't, you know.
And he says.
Michael doesn't have to answer to anybody about how his eyes look.
They think he might have jaundice. They think he might have kidney problems is what they're saying. That when your eyes are yellow, that it's a telltale of a greater health issue. And that's what they were saying.
His eyes look more red to me than yellow, but anyway.
Whatever. It's just one of those threads that's out there. You know, when he's been on TV 10 weeks in a row, 5 weeks in a row, 2 hours a night, people start to talk about things other than the show. And that's it. They're speculating about his health and his eyes. They're yellow. Whatever. But yeah, it was good. And he says that they should have come back for one more year. And I agree.
Of course.
Obviously, yes. They should have come back for one more year now in retrospect. And that's what we say all the time. And that's why I don't think Rick Hendrick should have split up Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson either. Like, you got at that point, you got to let it ride, man, until it's done. Those guys were not, they just won the title. Let them lose. Let them lose, which wouldn't have been good for Michael, by the way, to end the whole deal off with a, conference finals loss. Reggie Miller, how great was that?
Yeah.
What I really liked and appreciated was that after every game, the team that lost, Karl Malone, they always made time to say what's up to each other. Larry Bird and Jordan, and they talk smack to each other, but like...
Unfiltered would be the term.
And Larry Bird, he let it roll off his back. You know, here Jordan's just saying some stuff to him.
Yeah, Larry said something to him, and Jordan, responded and put him in his place, I guess you could say.
But I love that it's light, though. Like, it's light. Like, it's just
yes,
work.
They're friendly. They're friends. They clearly are friends. That there's no doubt about that.
Larry went home disappointed, but he didn't take it so... It didn't prevent him from being friendly with Michael at the end and going and finding Michael and saying what's up to Michael. Like, that's what we need. We need more of that. But, yeah, it was good stuff.
All right, enough of that, because today's players are all way too friendly. And what the league needs is, much like NHRA, they need a little more rivalries. They need guys to not be so huggy, friendly on the court. They could use a little more edge in their games against each other.
Well, but these guys were friendly, and they were great rivals.
Yeah, but that's not how the players are today. Man. That's what I'm saying. That the players today are definitely not rivals like that. I mean, I can't even think of any of them that you would say that dislike each other like that.
They know that they're in control, and they got the power. It's a different era. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen didn't even have the power. Phil Jackson, they won all those freaking championships, and they didn't have power. They didn't have control of their own destiny to keep the team together.
Yeah.
The team, they broke up a team I think it's time that we rebuild. it's a great example. It's a great example. All right. Quick Formula One story that I just read. Fernando Alonso has detoxed himself and is ready to return to Formula One, according to his manager, Flavio Briatore. With the 2021 merry-go-round in full effect, Alonso was tenuously linked with the Ferrari seat, but the stronger and more realistic rumor is a potential return to Renault for a third time now that Daniel Ricciardo is McLaren-bound, which brings us to Formula One discussion that Vettel, I can't believe, Gio, that you already have forgotten that Vettel's leaving Ferrari. That was big news.
I have not forgotten.
That just the problem is it happens right when stuff happens right after our show, and then a week goes by before we get back together, and a million things happen. It's you don't remember that we did not discuss that, but yes, Vettel leaving Ferrari causing a whole dominoes moving everywhere. Like, next year is going to be a genuine silly season with Formula One.
Absolutely, and Carlos Sainz is replacing him. I do recall, but you're correct. That happened way like Tuesday morning or something.
And I had a nice conversation with Mike Heiner, crew chief for Derek Kramer, Pro Stock American Ethanol team. He's a big Tifosi. He cares, follows Formula One. And so we hashed the whole thing out on our Facebook Live last week. So you Formula One fans, you want to hear drag racers talk Formula One, go in there. But neither of us, and I'll tell you now, Carlos Sainz, I'm not feeling it. I don't know. Maybe they want the clear number one and then the solid number two that they had when they had Michael and Rubens. Maybe they feel like Leclerc is going to be that good. Leclerc's obviously very quick. And so, but Sainz, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about signs either, but I guess we'll see. When Leclerc came over, we weren't sure. We were kind of like, I don't know.
Right, Leclerc. Right, but yeah, who knows?
We really don't know. Science, has he ever been in top notch equipment like that? Let's see what happens. Maybe he gets injuries. get the freaking rocket ship.
You never know. Well, you never know. We're going to just see.
You know, like,
the only signs I know is M. Night Shyamalan.
What?
M. Night Shyamalan did a movie called Signs.
Yeah, stop, yield, go.
And that one was dumb, too. He basically hit the alien with
and
a baseball
bat. And
that was
the best one of his movies, actually, you know?
Did he do Blair Witch?
No, I don't think so.
In the end, all it is you hit the alien with a baseball bat. That's the sign.
Oh, give me a break. The alien was her father. Yeah.
So, but yeah, Formula One is topsy-turvy. I like the idea of Alonso coming back, though.
I'm not against it. Let's see what happens.
I don't think he's going to compete for the world championship. I think
I was just, definitely not. But who knows?
The two-time world champion, of course, retired from the sport after 2018, after growing disillusioned with the predictability and the clear pecking order that exists in Formula One. But Briatore thinks Alonso's mindset is actually the opposite, and a year off has worked wonders for him, paving the way for a comeback. Fernando is motivated, Briatore told Gazzetta dello Sport. A year out of Formula One has done him good. He has detoxed himself, and I see him more serene and ready to return. As for Flavio's thoughts on Carlos Sainz's move to Ferrari, well, that has only provided him with more evidence that Charles Leclerc is the chosen one at the Scuderia. He, Sainz, is a good driver, and he had a good championship in 2019 if we consider the car he had available, he added. The situation seems clear to me. Ferrari is betting everything on Leclerc, and it is good because, as I had the opportunity to say last year, he is a future star. Similarities with Alonso and Schumacher, you can see the good drivers right away. Wow. So Flavio is giving a thumbs up to Leclerc. I remember, the numbers Michael did, even if he was still young with Benetton, there were also calls from Giancarlo Minardi to tell me about the young Alonso. You understand immediately, this one is special, and Charles is. Nice. So there you go.
There it is.
And that's from Planet F1, published, I guess, today. Now it's exciting. It's, okay, Vettel. I got a text from Brian Loans on Wednesday morning, I think is when it happened. Like, what do you think? And I said, my hot take was, I'm okay with it. I think it's time to turn the page. And, that was my hot take. And then I thought about it, and I still agree. I still agree because Vettel, his big mistakes have been documented by us and others over and over again, big moments where he just failed to deliver or crashed. And two, the commentary that he has made many times about there's more to life than Formula One and things of that nature. Whereas Charles Leclerc, there's nothing more than Formula One to this kid. He wants to become a world champion. That's it. He doesn't have the paperwork yet. He wants to get it. He wants to earn it. He's ready. And I kind of like it. We're taking a new step. I wonder what Rich York of the Dirty Hippies has to say, since he's the only reason that he followed Ferrari was because of Vettel. And so now I would imagine he's gonna follow Vettel.
Yeah. I don't know. What is Vettel going to do? Is Vettel going to retire? Where is Vettel going to end up?
No, the discussion is that Vettel's going to go to Mercedes.
No, that's not happening.
Others, though, fear. Okay, here it is. Some live and
Red, maybe, but not Mercedes. Well,
here's the story about Vettel. As Formula One World continues to process Vettel's Ferrari exit, Martin Brundle thinks the two simply fell out of love with each other. 2020 will be Vettel and Ferrari's final year together in a period which has resulted so far in 14 victories and 54 podiums, but no world championship. The two parties did not offer any specific reasons why they had failed to reach an agreement over a contract extension, but Sky Sports F1 pundit Martin Brundle believes it is a case where the confidence between them had deteriorated to the point where it was no longer possible to continue. I think they just fell out of love with each other. Sebastian lost confidence that they could really go and take championships in the future, and they lost a bit of confidence in him. Too much contact, too many silly incidents, but it does seem bizarre. Take away the silly errors, and he's still got tremendous speed, everything that is needed to at least equally fight with Charles Leclerc. He's one of the all-time greats in F1, and we can't dismiss him. We will see him again in Formula 1. If we don't see him again in Formula 1, I'll be very disappointed. Some live in hope rather than expectation that Vettel may join forces with Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes. I had seen that also. Next year, the four-time world champion has also been linked with a move to Renault now that Daniel Ricciardo will be replacing Sainz in 2021. Others, though, fear Vettel will retire at the end of the season. Once again, all his options have been assessed. And there you have it.
Yep.
Yeah. What can you say?
No, well, it's yet to be determined.
Simple as that. Yet to be determined. I liked Vettel. I just, you know, we've had two drivers. It's kind of tough when you got Lewis Hamilton over there at Mercedes being practically perfect. It was a tough,
yeah,
it was
and
a tough
Ferrari
task.
Never, you know, never the year that now that they finally had the car, you know, they had some issues that year. They couldn't really go in battle, had his second half incidents. And I think that was the beginning of the end. Almost you can say
beginning of the end. Here's that penalty. Eric Jones, crew chief Chris Gayle had been fined $20,000 and suspended from the next Cup Series race at Darlington on Wednesday for two loose lug nuts post race. I wanted to mention that.
Well, there you go. No more loose lines.
3.7, 6.3 million viewers. Those were all good.
Yes.
Good numbers. Good deal. Well, all right,
Very good numbers. I think it was, you know, other than Daytona, the numbers for a standard race, it was all record numbers for a race in May for, not a non-Daytona race. For it was like 40% better than any, you know, than any other race. It was.
Right.
You know, the numbers, yes, they were no competition, but still they had great. It was great to see that they got over 6 million viewers and that they were back on. And it was just a little bit of normalcy in an abnormal time.
That's it. It's the new normal. Apparently everybody hates that phrase, the new normal. It's got everybody annoyed. The new normal. This is the new normal. Well, hey, we're living the new normal, man. We're living the new normal. And that's it. Well, That is all I got, Giovanni. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm out. Everyone, enjoy the race on Wednesday. We'll check back with you on whenever Joe gets back.
There it is.
Maybe not. Look, it worked this way too, so who knows?
I don't even know what he's talking about. But thank you very much, Giovanni Miami. There he goes, Giovanni in Miami. And that's it, everybody. Appreciate you guys. So a final quick thought, just that I'm out here and traveling around and noticing that there are two types of people. There's really two types of people. People are taking the thing seriously and trying to give other people confidence by doing the right thing, and people who don't care. And I don't know people that don't care. I don't think we got a lot in the WFO audience, but I think it's better to be one of the people that tries to take it seriously and show respect to the other folks, regardless of whether you take it seriously or not, just for civilization, to be civilized. It's just like in a regular world, before this crazy virus, there were some things that you just did out of respect for other people, whether you knew them or not. We're seeing that again taken to a new level. And it's been very interesting to see who does and who doesn't. But anyway, that's going to do it. Be on the lookout for NHRA Nitro, which may not happen. Thursday, definitely not going to happen. Friday cocktails, definitely going to happen, assuming I make it back from travel. So a big week at WFO. If you missed out on any of our shows, go into the archive. The Daryl Gwynn Show, the Ron Tobler Show. There's just so many great things out there. It has been a whole lot of fun, and it's all thanks to our sponsors, talking about samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology, and Marvin Rodak at rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, and Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, TotalSeal.com. They are going to be on Performance TV. Lake Speed Jr. coming on Performance TV this week. Another one of the reasons that I wanted to come up here and be a part of this deal. And hey, a quick reminder, WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084, Castello Media/WFO stickers. Send it over and we'll get to it. Hey, and don't forget, NitroFishRacing.com. WFO 20, 20% off whatever you get. You don't even have to get a WFO Radio t-shirt. You don't even have to get a WFO Radio t-shirt. But if you're getting 20% off on your Jason Line final season shirt, you might as well get a WFO Radio t-shirt anyway and just give it to someone since you're getting stickers for free, etc. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch, made in America, absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport, EFI tuning, and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to top alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. We're talking gourmet coffee, we're talking hot sauces, we're talking spice rubs, we're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee, and oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit them up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.